A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I still love the buttery biscuit base, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Lots of new managers in action this weekend, and Liverpool host Arsenal. It's Friday 19th of November. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
And I'm Jim Campbell. It's Friday again, Andy, and my goodness, you've got a twinkle in your eye.
Always,
baby girl. What about you, Jim? Looking forward to the weekend's action?
I am, very much so. It's nice to have a bit of the Barclays back, isn't it? It's been a while.
Is it still the Barclays,
oh,
is it?
Absolutely. Yeah. Open me up a current account.
But well, we are looking forward to the Coca-Cola Cup as well, coming back in action. My goodness.
Always the Worthington to me.
Is it right?
Yeah.
I thought you'd be more of a milk cup kind of guy.
How dare you?
I think the Rumbelows is the most pleasing on the ear, isn't it, I think?
Yes.
The Rumbelows Cup. They should still do it, despite Rumbelows being a shop that went out of business in probably the 80s.
I'm pretty sure when Carl Leeburn scored a couple of goals for Charlton in the Rumbelows Cup, he was treated to a free telly out of Rumbelows.
Nice.
And they did a very, you know, sort of earthy film of him arriving at Rumbelows in Woolwich going, yeah, I'd like that one, please.
Oh.
And then wheeling it out to his car.
It's a great word. It sounds like a word that's falling down a hill. Rumbelows.
Yeah,
there it goes.
There they go.
But no one was harmed during this fall. Yes.
My goodness. Well, we're all excited, everybody, because we've got a lot of new managers in action this weekend, as I said.
Three making their debut at 3 o'clock.
In the Premier League.
What does it all mean?
Oh, I don't know, but it could
probably something to do with the Mayan calendar.
What a load of bollocks to start the show with. Let's talk straight to the Premier League. There's no conspiracy here. Aston Villa against Brighton. Steven Gerrard's first game as Aston Villa manager. Graham Potter's 100th match in charge of Brighton. Much has been made, Jim Campbell, of Steven Gerrard's pre-match press conference. Not really a pre-weekend press conference. The Friday is when they go in front of the cameras and the journalists and all. But a lot's been said about this. Gerrard handled himself sort of quite well, I think. Is a statesman-like quality about him.
Absolutely. I'm intrigued as to how this game's going to go, because he also said in that press conference that he hasn't met the entire squad yet because of the international. So I'm wondering, what effect does that have on the new manager bounce?
Mm-hmm.
And does that delay until he's met everyone?
Right.
Does it really exist?
Are they not impressing him in training, are you saying?
Well, they're not physically there.
Yeah,
okay. So it's kind of difficult to do, isn't it?
It is difficult to do. I mean, Andy, it's Gerrard, it's quite intriguing. I think a lot of people are looking at Gerrard in the way that perhaps they didn't in some other of these new managers, and maybe even, dare I say, and we have to compare him to Frank Lampard. But with Gerrard coming as the Premier League, it was impressive what he did at Rangers. I know
very.
Yeah. Okay. So you're a very impressed man.
I am,
with Gerrard at
because
Rangers.
It's not just in a Scottish Premiership context; it's in a European context.
But some people say
they were really good against good opposition, playing different tactics to the ones that they played domestically.
Yeah,
and I think you have to rate that.
But you are a winner, Andy, but you're not worried about trophy cabinets so much, are you?
Well, that's not his immediate job, is it?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm relatively optimistic.
Okay.
I think he's always projected very well since he was a player.
Uh-huh.
But that's the thing. It's like the pre-match is wonderful. It's like the same with Xavi at Barcelona. Of course, he's making his Barcelona debut this weekend.
Oh, another one!
I just want him to, against Espanyol, no less.
Local derby.
I want him to stay in the press conference room forever because it is such an enriching experience. And to a lesser extent, I feel the same with Steven Gerrard. Even the way he wears his blazer and tie and jumper, he's got that cool head boy sort of vibe to him.
Head boy is a good way of describing it.
I wonder though, it's very, very British, isn't it? That makes me think, is he going to be one of those? Is he going to be the sort of like British managers on the purely British managerial merry-go-round?
If you prefer me to frame it in a US way, I think he can relate to the jocks and the nerds.
Yeah, I see what you mean. I think he cuts an impressive figure, Gerrard. And with regards to Rangers, he did do an impressive job. There's no two ways about that. But they didn't win many trophies. They only won the league.
Yeah, all right.
Which is always going to be
But how realistic is it then winning a European trophy?
I'm talking about domestic trophies. It is very realistic for them to win the Scottish Cup and the League Cup.
But Marcus, I mean, a lot of people have made this point, but we're not talking about, you know, Rangers and Celtic from the 90s, are we? You know, this was a Rangers that needed to be rebuilt. You know, they've come back from the brink, really. So, you know, they weren't winning stuff at all until Gerrard came along, and he won them the league without them losing a game. And obviously his remit at Villa isn't going to be win the Premier League, is it? So
yeah,
I think it's still, you know, there's still an element of risk for everybody involved, but I don't think that is really a metric that is relevant here.
Mm.
But I think because he's so impressive, we've got to leave a little gap. We've got to give him a little bit of time because Villa have been in a state.
They have.
And it's going to take a while to sort out. So I don't think, because people are so excited about him coming back to the Premier League and because he's built a fairly impressive CV so far, we can't expect instant magic.
No. And it's not a stepping stone, is it, Andy?
Oh, it's definitely not.
He got a little bit... He just said it was unfair to call it stepping stone, which I do agree with. But he did admit that he'd been in touch with Jurgen Klopp quite a lot. Yeah. Is that something to admit?
No. I just probably... He's like, oh God, I'm going to need something about Liverpool. Otherwise, they're not going to shut up, are they?
You're really going to
come up with one of those press conference until they just stop asking him.
I got caught on a long lens talking to Jurgen as we were walking our dogs, but that's what he said. Apparently, they bump into each other when walking dogs.
Mm.
Interesting.
And now we're talking about it.
Yeah,
this is it.
Are they stuffed?
We're
dogs?
Talking about Liverpool already, not Villa. This is how it happens, isn't it?
I'd like to
his
think
dog
that...
must be absolutely knackered walking from the Wirral to Birmingham.
They live in the same area, apparently.
Right. Mm.
Who knows? But Gerrard, he has confirmed that he's banned ketchup, although he said it was banned before I'd seen it.
Yeah.
What are they doing at Spurs?
I've no idea.
Catch-up parties after training.
I've no idea.
Food fight!
It's like Bugsy Malone.
Gone to potty. Southgate banned from England the... is it like... What would it be? Sort of... I don't drink hot drinks.
Battered
Andy.
Sausages?
No. He banned battered sausages. And he banned
sorry
what is it like sort of caramel sauce or something someone might squirt in the top of a latte
okay, yeah,
or some
yeah,
crap
yeah, yeah.
You see,
yeah.
I'm thinking
yeah
the sort
syrup
of,
there you go
the sort of thing that Gareth Southgate would ban was single-use plastic.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, apparently the sauce and the syrup and all that he banned from the cafeteria.
I remember the first time I interviewed Antoine Griezmann when he was on a pre-season tour of England with Real Sociedad. I interviewed him. I spoke to him for 25 minutes and he drank 3 lattes in that time.
Oh my God.
Blimey.
That's why he runs so much.
Yeah, I bet. Actually, I think for about 20 minutes you'd turn into Pele, wouldn't you? But like but after that,
the
drop off would be pretty spectacular.
Yeah. You got to have a bit of ability though if you want to turn into Pele.
Yeah, quite.
Yeah. Well, with all this chat about Gerrard going to Aston Villa, obviously a lot of people have had their say. Some Rangers fans have been very unhappy, but this has already been discussed on previous rambles. Villa fans, I'm sure some of them are quite excited, some of them waiting to see. But one man who we always like to turn to when trying to kind of clarify things and really make sense of it all, is of course Richard Keys. Mm. And he expressed...
Your key to sport.
Exactly, yeah. His words, not ours, Jim, genuinely. And old Keys, he expressed his feelings on his blog, which is always worth a read if you if you want to know the truth. There's no doubting that the job he did at Rangers was first class. If nothing else, he stopped Celtic making it 10 in a row. But this is a step up. And the last man to make a similar journey failed. It hurts me to say that because he's a mate. I'm sorry, Graham.
What? There's no need, is there?
There's no need.
Such a dig.
Yeah.
Such a dig. And there's a lot pointless
more,
dig.
There's a lot more crap
of
in
course.
There.
Oh, it's a fantastic
I was expecting a different end to that word.
Yes. Can we just say about this game? So, Aston Villa have lost five in a row. Brighton are without a win in six league games. They've got five draws in there. Mm. What's been lost among the Gerrard chat is the potential for this game to be absolutely terrible.
Uh-huh. Why is that?
Well, look at the records.
Yeah, but Gerrard, though, I mean, it's interesting because I'm interested to how Gerrard will bring his style to Aston Villa, because he said he wants to stamp his style on this team, Andy. Mm. And he said, we will become a possession-based team, but when we transition into that, time will tell.
Yeah, that's the other thing, isn't it? And when we come to the other new coaching appointments as well, to impose a new style mid-season,
yep,
when you've got no time to do it with, when you've got no time to train the players athletically as well as tactically in the way that you want to, it's very, very difficult. I mean, of course, in most other European football cultures, you'll be thinking, oh, well, we can get a week in at Christmas. That's not possible, is it? So
you've got to hit the ground running. But yeah. I feel like every coach that is new nowadays and is quite young is, well, we're possession-based. No one goes, no, we don't give a shit about possession. Do they?
No, it's important to say it.
Yes.
It's very, very important to say it.
Whether you implement it is a different matter.
But then again, that's right. And going back to how you do impact a team very quickly, Thomas Tuchel is the best example of that.
That was just incredible.
You know, and it's amazing as well to think that he drew his first match 0-0 against Wolves.
Good point.
As Stamford
In hindsight,
Bridge.
Andy, good clean sheet.
Yeah, exactly. So, let's not go crazy about this first game.
Back at Rangers, Giovanni Van Bronckhorst has been unveiled as the new manager.
I mean, that is quite exciting, isn't
it? That is a bit of a coup. Previously managed Feyenoord, of course, won the league, and he won the cup twice at Feyenoord. In fact, their league title that they won at Feyenoord was their first in, I think, 18 years, something like that.
Yeah.
More recently managed in Guangzhou, RNF in China, which is, you know, an interesting one. But, you know, we all have a bit of money, don't we?
We do.
I mean, he did an amazing job in winning the league for Feyenoord. When they got
11th place with Guangzhou RNF, Andy. That is a stain on his CV.
It's a while ago now.
It was last year.
I meant the Feyenoord thing, actually. I mean, when they started to get battered by good quality opposition in the Champions League at the start of the next season, it started to fall apart and he struggled to put it together from there. So I don't know whether he's able to do the same thing as Gerrard in sort of, you know, working domestic and continental. You have to wait and see.
Yeah. But, can we say the immortal lines? He knows the club.
I think you can say that, yeah.
Okay. Well, he knows the club, Andy, so it should be all right. Norwich against Southampton on Saturday at 3:00. Of course, Dean Smith is fresh from a trip to New York City, apparently.
A mysterious trip to New York City based on the things he's been saying.
This was an intriguing one. He did seem slightly secretive as to what went on in the Big Apple.
Trying to sell Josh Sargent back to the US?
Is that right? Well, he said, when asked about his trip there, he's been away for a week, he said, I can't say too much about New York, I'm afraid. And then when he was sort of pressed, he said, well, a cycle ride around Central Park, trip to the Empire State Building, ferry to Staten Island, you know, typical tourist stuff, wink, wink.
Had a coffee in Central Park. Jim, what will you really do? I don't believe it. I don't believe your cover story.
Would you like to speculate as to what Dean Smith actually did in New York?
I think he's been hosting Saturday Night Live.
I think he'd do
Premier
all right.
League's getting massive in America.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I'd love that.
And obviously, it's going to be very difficult for a manager who's currently active to host Saturday Night Live.
I think if he's...
Especially given when the fixtures take place. So, you know, international break even is difficult because they've got to manage the players that haven't gone away. So what Saturday Night Live needs is a manager who's just out of work, but very likely to just go back into work. And that gives you a very small window. And Dean Smith has filled that window.
And also, he's lost his job, so he's therefore okay to sort of point a few guns at people and have a few digs. And he's the type of guy, I think, that if he did a stand-up set and he got some laughs, he would chuckle as well because he would just be so delighted to get those laughs.
Yes, yes.
So I think we're all behind that. So we look forward to seeing the footage whenever that appears. But he promised a new start for Billy Gilmore, importantly. Because Gilmore hasn't played that much.
It's surprising, isn't it?
Because he was so impressive for Scotland and has been. And yet, obviously, Chelsea chances are few and far between. That's quite clear. So going to Norwich, people, I think, thought, right, he's going to be the heart of that midfield. Mm. He's going to play a lot, but barely kicked a ball.
You see it happen sometimes, don't you? Mm. You think that a young player will go and like light up whichever position they play in, but it's really almost pointless to speculate on what might have happened. Maybe he's just not settled in there. Maybe it turns out he doesn't fit the system. Mm. Maybe for whatever reason, Daniel Farke was maybe overly cautious in changing the system he already knew. Who knows?
Well, that last point seemed to be true.
Well, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, earlier in the week, Lars Sivertsen suggested that maybe Daniel Farke saw him and Mathias Norman, who's probably been their best player so far this season, as competition rather than complementary.
Yes.
Where Dean Smith might look at it differently. So.
Well, Smith stressed the need to prioritise defence, organisation and structure, which for any team that's in the relegation zone, especially if they're not pulling up trees as well, that would certainly be the case. They've conceded 26 goals across their 11 games. And they did have a tough run at the start of the season, so they've already played Liverpool, Manchester City and Chelsea. But it's a huge task for Smith, and he does seem quite buoyed by this. And I think it's an interesting one, having left Villa, the job that you know he wanted for so long. He seemed like a great fit for a time, and obviously some people think it was a little bit hasty. Other people said no.
I think it's a little bit hasty.
I thought it was as well, Andy.
Them getting rid of him.
But you think, though, for a guy who's sort of, I say, not synonymous maybe, but we know it was a good fit. You know, he loves the club, blah, blah, blah. Just to go straight into another job quite quickly, I thought maybe he would have a bit of time, enjoy New York, whatever he did there, for a couple more weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I've reflected about this because you think it seems too soon. On the other hand,
it's a bit of a rebound, Andy.
Well, that's it. But on the other hand, you think, well, if you totally believed in yourself in terms of the job, if you felt that the players still believed in you, and I don't think there was any sense that wasn't really the case, you'd be thinking, hang on, I'm still running. I need to have another treadmill put under me. And I think that's what it is. I was saying earlier in the week, I think, I'm not saying he's definitely the guy who's going to help them not get relegated, but I feel they have a chance now. I didn't feel they had a chance.
Well, he's going to help them not get relegated, Andy. I mean, that is, he's the number one guy to do that.
He's really the only guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
You think that he may not be successful in that pursuit.
Yes. Well, we'll wait and see. I think there's a chance they can stay up now. And I never felt that.
Right. Okay. Under Farke. That's been talked from
Brad. I think as well, if you look at the bottom third of the table, there are enough iffy teams down there. It's not like there's no talent in the Norwich squad at all. Billy Gilmore's tip of the iceberg. But players like Milot Rashica, Ozan Kabak, who's not had a great start to the season. Of course, these players have ended up at Norwich because they've not had a great time. Mm. Otherwise, with their talent, they'd be at better clubs. But that means, to me, that there's something to work with.
Do you think
maybe a new coach can open that up.
Is he going to open up the inner Jack Grealish and Todd Cantwell? It's what we all want to see.
Oh, it is what we want to see.
Cantwell and Gilmore together.
Yeah.
On paper, that looks excellent, doesn't it? But again, we've not really seen enough of it. Also, I think if they do go down, he's an excellent manager in terms of getting you back up again. He did such a good job at Brentford.
Yeah.
And obviously getting Villa into the Premier League in the first place, it makes a lot of sense. And they'll be, you know,
they're into the continuity, aren't
for
they?
That as well. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Very much so. Yeah. Well, whatever happens, I think it's going to be interesting. And Dean Smith, he said himself, I've said right from the start, I'm a big boy and I can handle it. Now, I don't know whether that's in reference to something he was holding or his time in New York, but we've got hope in him. Got a bit of faith there, Jim. Newcastle v Brentford, Saturday, 3 p.m. Another new manager, Jimmy. It's Eddie Howe. He's demanded his players to sacrifice and suffer in Newcastle's fight for survival.
Yes.
It's all fun and games.
You've got to come to training now, guys. You've got to come.
It's not the sexy football that we once knew about Newcastle United. It's sacrifice and suffer.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they do need to do that, don't they? Because it's a while before they can bring anyone in. We don't know who they're going to be able to get in. Howe's got to come in and improve basically everyone immediately. Mm-hmm. It's a big old job. It's sort of, it's easy to forget that they've not won a game, isn't it? I know everyone's constantly banging on about it, but it feels like this is a different Newcastle now that Howe is in, but we haven't actually seen that yet. We don't know how effective he's going to be at getting those players to play in a different system and to just be a bit better. Mm. I do feel there's a better team in there than you know Bruce was getting from them, very clearly.
Yeah, well, you would have hoped so. Yeah. I mean, they haven't won a game, as you quite rightly say. It's their worst start to a league campaign in their history.
Yeah.
So, yes, there is definitely a better side in there.
But it feels like the idea is that it's only Alisson Maximan, Callum Wilson, and to a degree Joe Willock that are actually decent players. And that, there's got to be more in the squad.
Yeah, there's not much more, though, is there? I mean, to me, it feels like Eddie Howe's job is that they are one of the weaker squads in the Premier League. And his job, we can talk about philosophy, etc. They just need to get enough points between now and when they can start buying players in January to not get cut away along with Norwich.
Scrape. Even if they've got to gouge eyes and kick testicles, they've got to, they've got to do it, haven't they?
Well, but it's interesting you say that, Andy, with they've got to get enough points. You've got to make it an attractive proposition to sign players, because if you're bottom of the league and you haven't won,
if you're bottom of the league by a mile and are definitely going down, you've got a problem.
The latest one linked to them, Axel Witsel.
Nice.
Apparently, they're offering them like an enormous amount of money, and it's blown Juventus's offer out of the water.
That's proper blindfold and dartboard stuff, that, isn't it?
Yeah. Axel Witsel, though, I mean, he's got a history of like being a player who could play at some top clubs and just doesn't seem to.
Is that
obviously Dortmund
China.
Is like the is the, you know, the exception to that? But Witsel, you know, maybe he'd continue down that path.
Get him in there, continuing down that path.
That's
Jim.
Really funny.
Yeah,
very good. Coutinho,
thanks, man.
Coutinho, everyone's like, oh, Philippe Coutinho's like set to snub Newcastle in January. It's like, is he putting it out there in advance? Like, don't even think about it.
Yeah.
Don't even bother asking. Like, I'm not coming.
Don't make me an offer, because it could be an offer I can't refuse. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, dearie me.
Yeah, well, it's difficult, because I think Brentford seem to present a great opportunity because they're out of nick at the moment.
Mm.
But you'd have loved to have played them just before the international break, wouldn't you? When you know they're definitely out of nick, rather than Thomas Frank's had time to think about it and absorb. Mm. And, you know, if ever Ivan Toney's going to go and score a goal that's going to make a huge difference on the relegation battle, it's going to be in this game, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, Andy.
And he's got a goal or two in the pipeline. He's had a lot of... He should have more goals than he's got already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
He could fill his boots against Newcastle, but it depends what Howe has got in store, of course.
Yes.
We will see. Callum Wilson, talking about Steve Bruce there, Callum Wilson was his diplomatic best, I think, when reflecting on Steve Bruce's regime last week. No disrespect to anybody who has been in charge.
Okay. To any of the one men who have been in charge.
Yeah. Who could he be talking about? How many? The thing is, there's so many names there, we just don't know. No disrespect to anybody who's been in charge. We have been a lot further from the goal than we'd like to be. Now, does he mean the goal of getting points on the board, or does he literally mean when we play the match, it's all being played in our half, and I'm a striker?
Yeah, it does sound like that.
I think he literally means the goal.
Yeah. Just kick it up to me, anything.
It's not unreasonable, though, is it?
No, it isn't.
It's absolutely bang on.
Yeah, I love it, though, that Wilson will still be, he still manages to sniff out a goal or two, despite who's in charge. You know, he's that much of a poacher. Howe will need him, and Howe knows how to get the best out of him, Andy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'll be going tomorrow afternoon.
Are you just, Dan?
Yeah.
Where are you going to be sat? Seat number and block?
About five rows from the front.
Right.
Behind the dugout, so you get a really good view of Eddie Howe.
Now, if you're going, try and find Andy Brassel, because he's only five rows behind the dugout.
I thought you were... That was weird, because you were looking at Andy as you said that.
Yeah.
Well, but he is Andy Brassel.
Yeah, I know. I've already found him. He's right here. But he will be off at St. James's Park tomorrow. Excellent stuff. All right then, gentlemen. After the break, we're going to talk about Arsenal.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Flo Lloyd-Hughes.
I'm Rachel O'Sullivan.
And I'm Chloe Morgan.
Join us every week on our brand new show, Upfront, on Football Ramble Presents. We'll get stuck into the biggest stories in women's football every Tuesday, from the latest in the WSL.
Gareth Taylor said, oh, well, actually, we were playing 3-4-3, and we moved to 4-4-3-3. If you look at any of the footage, if you look at the way the players played in that first half, there were four players playing at the back. That sort of comment speaks of a manager who doesn't quite know what they're doing.
To how the Lionesses are shaping up ahead of a home Euros next summer.
For me, I would pick Lee Williamson. I would just go for it now. For a younger age captain, you've got some big tournaments coming up. I think a lot of players think she's got a really great mentality, gets on with a lot of people. For me, she's a born leader, and I think she will be England captain at some point.
And what it's really like being a player in women's football today.
From my own experiences of being in a situation like that, I mean, you know, when we got promoted when I was with Spurs, that was phenomenal. I was, you know, first choice keeper. You know, then you go into the WSL for our first season, and all I wanted to do was get WSL experience.
Join us every Tuesday for Upfront. Search Football Ramble Presents in your podcast app. Subscribe now.
Football Ramble Presents is a Stack production.
Good morning, Glenn.
Can you tell us something your mum doesn't know?
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Right, everybody, it is time for emails.
If you've seen Vish in a kebab shop, or Dean Smith up a tree, if your dad chinned a referee, send us an email, please. If you put Messi on a two-shirt, if you sold our Teta cheese, if you've got something for us, showfootballramble.com.
Ooh! There we are.
Yeah, maybe that's what Dean Smith was doing in Central Park.
Quite possibly.
Who knows?
So, Dave in Ontario has been in touch. I was triggered into emailing following Marcus's tongue-in-cheek name drop of Greg Rozeski during the Ramblers' review of Canada's 2-1 win over Mexico. My triggering, however, was actually to finally get around to emailing you about your rock-paper-scissors discussion from some time ago. While I wish this story was about me, it's actually about a friend of mine, Lee Ramage, the 2004 rock-paper-scissors world champion.
Lee Ramage sounds... I mean, maybe we just know him from this, but it sounds familiar.
It does, doesn't it? Mm. Yeah. So the NHL was on strike that year and ESPN provided extensive coverage of the event. Lee and some friends entered as a lark and he ended up taking home the title. Following his victory, or so he tells it, Lee could be heard repeating NFL quarterback Phil Simms' famous line, "I'm going to Disney World." Friends working in communications told him to keep it up as Disney was loving the media coverage, which ended with Lee serving as Grand Marshal of the Disney Parade. He also made an appearance on the Today Show and was also flown to Hong Kong for an all-expenses-paid
paid press tour some years later to promote their national championships.
Oh, dear.
So there are lessons to be learned here, dear Marcus. One, be careful when greasing Canadians on air. Two, when we put our minds to it, we can win anything. Qatar 22, anyone? No. Bouncers always throw rock, so Lee tells me. Bouncers always throw rock. So there you go.
Dear Marcus. I never greased up any Canadians, thank you very much.
Well, it sounds like you've upset some.
Yeah. So. Can you? Do you know what I mean?
Can you upset Canadians?
Yeah, only for a short while and then they're all nice again.
I love the way that ES...
You're making it worse. I love this. You're trying to make an enemy of Canada.
I'm taking advantage of their niceness.
I love the way that ESPN were providing extensive coverage of this.
Because they
did extensive coverage during the summer when in the... I don't know, 3 days when there was no football on, of that eating championship, didn't they?
Yes.
Did you see that guy drinking the gallon of lemonade? Oh, that was absolutely
I know, you know what? I think I did see that. It's a very, very impressive feat, and he's probably still paying for that.
Yeah, I mean he was allowed a series of tactical burps, which I didn't realise was...
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It was a thing.
We're talking about how new coaches are going to approach things. Maybe tactical burps could become a thing in the Premier League.
Yeah. That would, like a burp break.
Yeah.
Everybody. Well, maybe in the Carabao, they might need that. We're having a burp break in the Carabao Cup. Everyone just at the side of the pitch after 25 minutes.
Have your energy burp.
Chucking them over the shoulders, burping everybody. There we are, you see. You just need a bit. Vish said that, didn't he, recently on our Instagram when we did a video there. He said that he'd like a very large man to burp him after meals. Get like, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson just to come along and just grab the players and chuck them over his shoulder one by one.
What footballer do you think would be best at that? I think Yunus Kabul would be excellent at that.
Duncan Ferguson.
I'm thinking Jan Vestergaard.
Yeah, anybody big, really.
Sheer massiveness.
Right. Yeah.
I think you're right, Andy. That he would be decent.
Yeah.
I think, Duncan Ferguson would be too... He'd break your back.
Yeah.
I think he'd be too... Getting near results. Yeah. There we are. Right, gentlemen, back to the Premier League. Liverpool versus Arsenal. Saturday at tea time. Arsenal are flying, Jim. 8 unbeaten in the league. And they haven't faced anyone inside the top six at that time. But now's their chance. They haven't won at Anfield in the league since 2012. Yep. Are you hopeful?
I am very, very curious. I am slightly hopeful. I won't be surprised, obviously, if Liverpool win this game. But what I'm intrigued by is how Arsenal face this challenge, because there's such a such a different team from even the start of this season.
Yeah.
That it's going to be interesting to see how consistent they can be and how much they can replicate the form that has taken them to this good run, because they've had games in that run where they've not actually played that well, but they've got the result. So as they need to be really, really on it to get anything from Anfield.
Jim, as it's Liverpool, is it patronising for me to say that the performance is almost more important than the result for Arsenal?
I think it is, because they're implementing kind of a new style, really, in that Arteta's got the team he wants and he's got the moving parts of the machine he wants to build. So realistically, Arsenal aren't going to win the league this year, which is what Liverpool are going for. But it's about going there, you know, just seeing how that game plan works against really, really strong opposition. Because you need your own style, you need your own identity, and that is something that actually it's taken Arsenal a little while to reestablish for a long time in the post-Wenger years.
Do you not think with Arsenal, though, that they are capable of having a little spell like they've just had against maybe some poorer opposition?
Yeah.
And then in a few games' time, it could all be the same old of, is it clicking or does he need time and all this business?
I think there would definitely be points this season again where it seems like Arsenal are in a bit of a crisis, because I think that's essentially, if you're a club who's slipped in stature, every underwhelming result is a crisis, even if actually in reality it is just a reflection of where you are at present. So I think actually Arsenal go into this without much to lose, which is... It's pretty good.
Well, their own, scorer, Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, is feeling very confident. He said yesterday, "I'm the coolest captain in the league, maybe in the world. I try to be an example and try to inspire the young people in the squad, but also the older people as well."
What's wrong with just stating facts?
Yeah.
You know what he sounds like when he sounds? Do you remember when they, in The Simpsons, where they introduced the extra character in Itchy and Scratchy? Poochie.
Yeah.
He sounds like Poochie.
Yeah. He also, one for the younger listeners here, he also reminds me a lot of like the cat in that Paula Abdul video.
Oh my goodness. Two steps forward, two steps back.
Something like that. Opposites attract.
We come together because opposites attract.
That cat was annoying.
and it mugged off the bloke who did the vocal. Well, you know, that's what you get with a sort of radical cartoon cat from the 90s.
You're saying that cat was like a proto Milli Vanilli? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm just saying that whoever did the vocals with Paula Abdul on that track wasn't in the video. It was replaced by some bloody cartoon cat.
Right.
Was it not 80s? Was it 90s?
Late 80s, early 90s. Who knows?
Email in. We can't possibly find this information out ourselves. Well, anyway, Pierre Mkhitaryan, the coolest captain in the league, maybe the world, as he states, inspiring everybody, and maybe he'll inspire his Arsenal side to a victory.
I bloody love that. I tell you what, I would absolutely love that. Mm-hmm. Don't get battered. That's the key thing, because we've taken some humbling batterings at Anfield. Mm. But again, like, it's about how they react if they do lose, because obviously they're going to lose at some point.
Yeah, could be tomorrow. How about this, Andy? Former Liverpool man Mario Balotelli said yesterday that he dreams of a return to the Italy squad for their World Cup playoff. He said, "I'd return from Turkey by foot."
Yes. He also made a very amusing comment about why Roberto Mancini hadn't called him yet.
Yeah. Mancini hasn't called yet, but that's because he knows my potential and I'm not at that level yet.
Do you know, all this has come...
You've just undone your own argument there.
But you know, this has come about because people, in air quotes, have been saying he should return to the national team. Mm. But only one person has, and that's Mario Balotelli's brother.
Right, okay, because if my memory serves me well, and damn these memories... Italy are the European champions.
Yeah.
They just won the Euros.
But
they don't need him.
Oh, they do. They do need a centre forward. Whether it's him is a different question.
Yeah, right,
obviously.
Enough, Andy.
But Roberto Mancini kept the door open for him, if we go back pre-Euros, for way longer than was normal. A, because he loves him and he's always loved him. And B, because they were short of a proper centre forward. And that's the reason that they haven't qualified automatically for the World Cup. He has started this season brilliantly. Obviously, it's hard to judge in terms of level, but he has done pretty well out there for a promoted side as well, where he's been expected to have a leadership role. Always with Balotelli, it's a bit like with Atem Ben Arfa. I just think, why did you have to leave Nice? It was all going so great there.
Yeah.
And just, I don't know.
It's pointless
thinking about that now. But, you know, the ability is still there. Mm. It really is. But, it's Balotelli, so... It takes a bit of a leap to believe, to really believe.
Absolutely right, Andy. Absolutely right. We move on, gentlemen, to Leicester versus Chelsea Saturday, 12:30. Kicks off the day quite nicely. Wesley Fofana was on Twitter Spaces this week and revealed how Jamie Vardy welcomed him to Leicester. "My first training session in Leicester, Vardy comes in two-footed and takes me out. He gets up and laughs and says, 'Welcome to England.' That is very believable."
Isn't it? Mm. You know, you expect that from a defender normally.
Yeah, you do.
On a new striker.
Mm-hmm.
Not for Jamie.
It's also a bit like, you know, well, there's no physical contact in France. Like, France is brutal.
Yeah, you've always said this, Andy.
That's why French players or players from Ligue 1 adapt really quickly when they come here.
Absolutely.
You'd just be thinking, oh, that's a bit obnoxious, isn't it?
I understand, but can anything prepare you for your first meeting with Jamie Vardy?
No, I don't think it can.
Yeah.
I don't think it can.
Right. I mean, are you, it's not entirely impossible that any of us will meet Jamie Vardy. Have you got a plan? Is it stupid to have a plan? Yeah. Or is it naive to not at least have the semblance of one?
I met Jamie Vardy when I was...
Did he kick you?
No, he was too busy trying to put off Mark Albrighton while I was interviewing him.
How was he doing that?
He was standing behind the camera, pulling faces and making silly voices at him.
My goodness. I think it's similar when Mike Tyson said, "Everyone's got a plan until they get punched in the face." That's what it's like with Jamie Vardy. Oh, dear.
Let us know. Show@footballramble.com. What are your contingency plans for meeting Jamie Vardy?
Absolutely right. Now, did you see Brother Brendy was unhappy in the press conference? A reporter asked him about the Manchester United job, and he said there's two things. Firstly, it is really disrespectful to ask the question when you have a manager in place, a good manager and a good man who is working hard at the club. Secondly, I can't really comment on it because it is something that is not real.
Brendy! If you were a Leicester fan, would you be really pissed off at this answer? Because I would be.
I would be completely as well. It's not a no, Brendan.
Yeah. Just say I'm happy at the club, no!
Andy! Yeah. We're doing this for the reporters, okay?
Yeah. I like the idea that it's because he's a good manager
and a good man.
Yes.
It's like, yeah, I don't rate that guy as a manager and I think he's a bit of a twat. So, yeah, I'm so interested in the job. Yeah. Come get me.
A good man has lost his job.
Yeah.
Not yet. But, yeah, clearly. Although, I think that it is fair saying this isn't real. I'm not going to comment on it.
Mm.
If I'm going to sound like I'm trying to appease Leicester City fans, that sounds like he's just going, just shut up, I'm not bothered. Yeah. But of course, in reality, he's not saying no.
I think he did say, did he not say in further quotes that he is like the manager of Leicester City and he's honoured to be so?
Yeah,
so
either way, put that at number one rather than leading with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is a good manager.
Mm.
It'd be an interesting one. Do you think he'd be a good fit at Old Trafford?
It's not real, Jim. We can't comment on it. It's not real.
Yeah, good point. There's no point.
No, exactly. I tell you what, though. Cesc Fabregas has been lifting the lid, as they say, on Antonio Conte, having played under him at Chelsea, of course.
I would not be surprised if Conte has a lid.
Yes.
You can see it coming off.
Well, I mean, it is
enough.
A transparent.
Bang!
Yeah, Jim.
Remember?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Although that's not a toupee. It's different.
Right, no, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is that slang for lid?
I don't know.
It should
no,
be.
No, or is lid is slang like for a toupee? A lid is for cap, isn't it?
That's true. Well, anyway, he's been telling tales of Antonio Conte at Chelsea, and he said it was like going to school. He will tell you from the goalkeeper until you have scored a goal what you have to do, exactly everything. You pass to him, and then you pass to him. You go on a dribble, and then you score. That's literally it. He's mapping the whole thing out.
Yeah.
He said, I had coaches like Pep Guardiola who had a lot of positioning in games, but we had freedom inside of this. With Conte, the freedom was non-existent. He was telling me where I have to pass the ball.
There speaks a man who was undercoached for a very long time at Arsenal. And as soon as he went back to Barcelona, he was like, I'm not sure I like this being coach stuff.
Yeah, but he did say they had a bit of freedom. I mean, he didn't quite hit the highs at Barcelona. He won a few trophies.
He still did very well, though. I think that's perhaps a bit of a slight myth.
But he said that, didn't he, about how he found it too restrictive. Mm. At Barcelona.
Well, yeah. He's won trophies wherever he's gone. How's he getting on at Monaco, Andy?
Well, he can't last a whole game anymore, but yeah. He has his moments.
He's having a lovely old time, isn't he?
Oh, I think so.
Little twilight of a career at Monaco. That's a lovely old job, surely. Yeah.
There was that bit of footage, wasn't there, about him going out on his apartment balcony and going, "Good morning, Monaco!" And someone from a neighbour going, "Shut up!" That was amusing, wasn't it?
He did invent a new pass at Monaco, didn't he? The sort of stamp pass.
Yeah.
So, you know, something with...
Still innovating.
Exactly, yeah. He's put his stamp on his time at Monaco. Yes. No doubt about that. Right, everybody, it's time for Betway's 4 to Score. Entry to Betway's 4 to Score is free. Each week, pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Game 1, Wolves versus West Ham. It's Saturday, 3 o'clock. Andy, who are you going for?
Quite simple. I've gone for Mikel Antonio. I mean, did you see that goal he scored for Jamaica in the week?
Yeah, absolutely.
Extraordinary.
Beauty.
The only question is, who's going to do the feeble follow-up? Because, you know, you'd fancy Ian Bowen's chances of connecting quite nicely, wouldn't you?
Afterwards.
So, yeah, West Ham are in too good form for anyone to do that feeble follow-up.
That's a great reason, Andy. It's a great reason. Game 2, Liverpool versus Arsenal, Saturday, 5:30 p.m. Jim, who are you going for?
It pains me to do so against my own team, but I think Mo Salah is the best player in the world right now. Mm-hmm. He is more likely to score than not in any game he's involved in, so I think I am going to go for him.
An extremely good pick. I think, Jim, it's fair to say. Game 3, I've got Manchester City versus Everton, Sunday at 2 p.m. Now, everybody, it's difficult with Manchester City because trying to figure out who starts is quite tricky. Obviously, there's some certain starters, but those in the more advanced positions, it is quite difficult to do that. I would betray myself if I didn't pick this man. We know he can score at the Etihad. I'm going for Andros Townsend.
Hey.
Of course you are. I'm going for Andros. In game 4, Spurs versus Leeds, Sunday at 4:30 p.m. Kate had this to say.
Well, I think you might have come to the right place to figure out who's going to score first in this one. I think it's clear to anybody who's been watching the most recent football in the international break that the man who will absolutely, definitely score first at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium on Sunday afternoon is England's third highest goal scorer, it's Harry Kane.
Thank you very much, Kate. Harry Kane. So, I mean, it's quite a blockbuster lineup here. Mikhail Antonio for Wolves versus West Ham, Mo Salah in Liverpool versus Arsenal, Andros Townsend for Man City versus Everton, and Harry Kane for Spurs versus Leeds. Now, there is one that sticks out there, and that is my one. So I hope that, we do manage to get all these across the line, Andy, because it will be a bit damning if the three obvious ones score and then I mess it up.
Go on, Andros.
But that is the name of the game. Often it isn't the obvious ones who do get the goals. So do make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. You can play free at betway.com/4to-score. Further T's and C's apply. You've got to be over 18, of course. Do gamble responsibly. For more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. And now, everybody, it's time for this.
It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
Hello, everybody. It's Marcus's game. Fire in your bollocks, head in the freezer. That's right. Jim Campbell is the champion because Marcus's game does count. It's all the same. It's all synced up. This Vish's game, Marcus's game, Luke's game, whoever's game.
So has Jim officially got fire in his bollocks?
I would say so. Looking at that smoke, Andy, just follow the smoke. You will find Jim's testes. Now, what's the matter, Jim? You're the champ. This is the kind of scrutiny that you've got to put up with if you're the champ, okay?
Scrutiny.
Yeah. You're joining in, you see. There you go, Andy. Jim, you are the champ, current champ, which means Andy goes first.
It does.
It does. Of course, we are doing managers. Remember, we're doing managers.
All right, okay.
So it's quite different with managers, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I feel it's like the clay court to the Luke's game grass court.
Yeah.
And I feel that you're better on clay.
I definitely feel stronger on that.
This guy's Rafa Nadal.
I think so.
Yeah. Except both my arms are the same size. Look it up. I'm obsessed with it.
Incredibly, both your arms are the same size.
Yes.
So,
I see what you've done.
I'm so sorry, everybody. Right then. So managers, remember national teams count.
Okay.
And if they've just managed for a club for 10 minutes, that counts as well.
What, it's Leroy was in, you're
so
at
they
Torquay.
Don't need to have taken a game.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Just so you're aware. So then, gentlemen, Andy Brassel. You're first, okay? This man has managed 10 teams. It's Nigel Pearson.
Ooh.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Toughy.
Surprisingly tough.
Mm-hmm.
Like the man himself, although there's no surprise to that.
I'll go with four.
Four? Is that the sweet spot?
I think it might be.
Jim, what have you got for me?
You know what? I might go on the front foot and go five.
Bloody hell!
Go on, Jimbo.
I'm almost certainly going
to... It's called Marcus's game, but really, some might argue it belongs to Jim Campbell.
It does today.
It does today. Well, let's see what he's got. Jim, fire away.
Leicester City. Watford. I'm already into uncertain territory.
Mm-hmm.
Portsmouth.
Ah! That's a point to Andy. So you went... You were going to have three guesses.
Well, I thought the other two were Bristol City and Sheffield United.
Not Sheffield United.
Right.
He started at Carlisle United.
Sheffield Wednesday, wasn't it?
West Bromwich Albion, caretaker. Newcastle United, caretaker. Southampton, Leicester City, Hull City, back to Leicester. Derby County, and then OH Leuven in Belgium.
So yes. Not Sheffield Wednesday at any point.
Not Sheffield Wednesday, no.
Nowhere Watford near Sheffield.
And Bristol City. The nearest you got to Sheffield Wednesday would probably be Leicester City, I'd imagine, or depending on
Would you have got that, Andy?
Derby, maybe.
I would have put a wrong one in my four.
Oh, it's 1-0 to Andy Brassel, though.
Okay.
1-0 to the big Brass. Okay. Next up, Jim, you're to start.
I am.
This man, 13 teams. Rafael Benitez.
Okay. Oof.
So there's a few to be had in here, but that is a lot. 13 teams, not as many as Sven-Göran Eriksson, from those who remember what happened the other week with Jim and Vish. 13 teams. Rafa Benitez. Rafa the Gaffer.
Rafa the Gaffer, indeed.
Rafa the Gaffer. Jim, can I get a guess from you?
Can I go for six?
Six, not bad. Andy?
I've got seven, definitely, but...
It could be mind games, Jim.
There's your answer,
Jim. It could be mind games. Jim said six.
I'm going to go seven. I feel like I'm missing an obvious one here.
Jim, what are you thinking?
Or two.
I think I'm probably missing an obvious one or two here as well.
No doubt there will be. If 13 teams is a lot.
Okay.
Can you squeeze this to eight, Jim? You went on the front foot in the first round. It didn't work. And he did have a wrong answer in his four. He admitted that or that could just be mind games. We don't ask people to show their hand, of course. It's like playing poker, this.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to go A.
Oh, my giddy aunt! It worked, this tactic against Vish when Jim faced him recently. Andy?
I remembered an extra one the minute I said...
Oh!
But...
So can you go 9? Can you remember an extra 2?
To quote the great Francis Begbie, well, fucking name then.
Are you going 9?
Yeah.
This is 9. Tremendous stuff.
I'm taking a bit of a flyer here.
Oh my goodness. Jim, have you got 10? This is outrageous.
I don't think I can go 10 eaters.
Yeah. This is our, God, blimey. What a Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Right. We're only on round 2. So we're going to go for 9 teams that you're going to go for. Right. We can't hear 10 from Jim. We've got 9 from you, Andy. Fire away.
Okay. Inter. Valencia. Napoli.
That's 3.
Liverpool.
4.
Everton.
5.
Newcastle United.
6.
Extremadura.
7.
Real Madrid.
8.
Tenerife.
And that's 9. And that's very impressive from Andy Brassel. Very impressive.
Very,
indeed.
Very good.
Yeah. Well, of course,
what are the other three?
Real Madrid, of course, Real Valladolid, Osasuna, Extremadura, Tenerife, Valencia, Liverpool, Inter, Chelsea.
Interim.
Chelsea?
Yeah.
God's sake.
Won the Europa League.
He did.
Yeah. An absolute legend there, isn't he?
Andy, you got the point, don't worry. Right. Napoli, back to Real Madrid, Newcastle United, Dalian Professional, and of course, Everton.
Ah, see, I would have gone Shanghai Shenhua as the Chinese one, and I forgot about... what was the obvious one I forgot? Napoli.
Yeah, there we are. There we are. 2-0
down.
2-0 down, but Jim, be inspired by me from last week. 2-0 down, 1-3-2. Okay, this is a big round for you, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Andy is going first, of course. That'll teach you for winning the title.
I know.
This man has managed 7 teams. It's Mark Hughes.
Ah. Oh, this is tricky.
Game could be won right here. But I think as a neutral, we want it to continue. Andy, come on. How many have you got?
4.
Is that a definite 4, Andy?
Yes.
Jim, can I have 5 from
definite
you?
Definite 4.
Oh. Come on, Jimmy.
I need a little bit of time on this one, I think. Mark Hughes, can I do 5? That absolutely must be possible. I think, damn it all, I am going to go for it.
He's going in. Andy.
Go on in.
Do you want Jim to do his 5?
Yeah, I want Jim to do his 5.
We all want Jim to do his 5, everybody. Right, okay. Mark Hughes, 5 teams that he's managed.
Manchester City. Southampton. QPR. Wales. And Marcus Speller's Fulham.
There it is. He's
nice.
Back in.
Okay.
Well played, sir.
What were the other two? It feels like we should both know all of those.
You
know
missed.
I mean?
You missed.
I didn't have Fulham.
Well, I'm surprised, actually, because 2 big stints you missed. Blackburn Rovers.
Oh.
And Stoke City.
Of course. Of course.
Yeah, he was at there a number of seasons. Both.
Turns out I don't think about Marcus so much.
Oh, dear. Right then, everybody. We move on, Jim, to round 4. This man has managed 6 teams.
Yep.
It's Chris Hughton.
Chris Hughton. Okay. Oh.
Ooh. Yeah, tricky one, isn't it?
It is a tricky one.
It is a tricky one.
It feels like it should be easier than it is.
3 for sure.
3 for sure, Andy. Or is that a mind game? Oh, Andy. Andy's got a look in his eye, which I don't know what it means, Jim.
So does that mean Jim is bidding 3?
Well, now Jim's still,
I'm
in an R.
I'm in an R.
Come on, Jimmy. I know it's crucial that I'm sure that... that the good people in Jim's Duke joint are all behind you.
Yes, Jim's Duke joint. Okay, so 6 clubs, was it?
It was 6 teams.
Yeah,
that's right.
So
stop stalling.
I'm going to bid 3.
3. Could be the sweet spot, Andy. What have you got?
I've got 4.
He's got 4! It's not what you want to hear, a confident Andy Brassel. But then he was confident in the first round, wasn't
he? Exactly, maybe one of them's wrong.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I'm not going to get 5, so I'm going to see if I can... I'm going to see if Andy's going to trip over his shoelaces.
Okay, Andy, 4 teams that Chris Hughton has managed for the win. Fire away.
Norwich City. Newcastle United. Nottingham Forest. Brighton and Hove Albion.
Andy Brassel wins. Saw that one coming.
There it is. He takes the title back. It's Big Brassel.
And I ain't ever doing another Friday again, so you can't have it back.
How about that, everybody? How about that? Yes, Chris.
I would argue that that's not how you pronounce Newcastle. that doesn't count.
Yeah, I'm afraid that you and I, as Southern gentlemen, are wrong the way we pronounce Newcastle, Jim.
What are the other two?
He was a caretaker manager at Tottenham Hotspur.
Ah.
And he was at Birmingham City for a little while. So there we are. Now, we will do the last one because we just simply have to complete the game, of course. And Andy, you're up first. This, you will be delighted that you didn't go to a fifth round.
Don't let it be Roy Hodgson again.
No. It's this man has managed 19 teams.
Oh, for God's sake.
19?
It's Claudio Ranieri.
Oh, wow.
Ooh. Yeah, you see, if you'd have gone for a fifth round, you never know in the madness of this. I think with Ranieri, would you want the opening bid for 19 teams?
It's just a lot, isn't it?
It's an awful lot.
It is difficult. I can't write fast enough.
Yeah.
And the thing, you'd be telling me to hurry up at the same time, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. Yeah.
It's difficult. Right. Now, I've managed to write down 9 so far.
That's impressive.
But I'm still going.
Yeah. Jim, can you beat 9?
No, I don't think I can beat 9.
All right, then.
I just want to sit back and watch this.
Yeah, go on then. 9 teams that Claudio Ranieri has managed. You might have to give me a moment with this.
Roma.
Roma is correct.
Napoli.
Yeah.
Chelsea.
Hang on.
Sorry.
That's 2.
Chelsea.
3.
Monaco.
4.
Nantes.
5.
Valencia.
6.
Inter.
7.
Watford.
8.
Leicester.
And there's 9. Impressive. Impressive. I'll,
and I've thought of at least 2 more.
So. Cagliari, Fiorentina, Atletico Madrid, Parma.
Sampdoria.
Juventus, yeah. Greece, Sampdoria, of course. And if you want to know if I've missed any, then Wikipedia him yourself.
Yeah. Greece? I thought that was a fever dream.
Yeah. No, I'm afraid it was true.
Right.
I'm afraid it was true. So 4-1 Andy Brassel there, an impressive win.
Yeah.
But very tricky, Jim. Very tricky.
Very tough.
You were a worthy opponent, I would say. But the title is back in the hands of Andy Brassel once again. So there we are. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute pleasure having you with us, everybody. We're back on Monday for more of this football chitter-chatter. But until then, thank you very much, Andy.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jim.
You are welcome.
Thank you, listeners. See you soon.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces 3 thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him,
Listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.